Hey everybody, it's Camera Work Podcast number 46. I am John Ricard. My Instagram, which is really the best place to find me, is J-O-H-N-R-I-C-A-R-D. And I'm joined today by photographer Kawana Curry. What's up, Kawana?
Hi everyone, my name is Kawana Curry. I'm a portrait photographer out of Maplewood, New Jersey. You can find me on Instagram, Envision13.
Right. Now, I live in New York, and I have no idea where Maplewood is, but whatever. But in any case, I met Kawana. I'd given a workshop at Unique Photo one time on, like, studio lighting, and Kawana was in the audience and stuff. And, you know, I guess she thought it was good. I don't know. We'd have to ask her. But about a year or two later, I was giving another workshop at Unique, and she, like, Instagrammed me, said something like, oh, what are you going to cover? Or just something like, do you think it would be a good workshop for me to attend? And I was very honest with her. I said, look, I've seen your Instagram feed and I see what you shoot, and you're beyond the level of needing to attend the workshop that I'm attending. You know how to do what I'm going to show. You don't need it. So, like, just, you know, save your money and go to the movies or whatever. But I thank you for, at one point, being at the point where you did need a workshop from me. Okay. But I don't think you need it anymore.
It's always great to learn. And sometimes if you repeat a workshop, you can always catch something that maybe you missed before. So.
Right. And I find I still enjoy watching educational content, whether it's like a creative live or going to these workshops. The thing for me, though, is when I know the material, though, sometimes it's very frustrating for me how slowly it's being presented. It drives me crazy sometimes. I'm like, just say this now. And it just, sometimes they feel like they're just going so slow to me, you know?
Yeah, sometimes you just want them to get to the point. And with Creative Live, unfortunately, you can't fast forward unless you purchase it and you can catch up with it later, but they're very helpful.
Right. And you know, a weird thing I've noticed too with some people is that you can catch one of these workshop people give a really good workshop, and then you're like, yeah, you know, like, that's my guy, or, you know, that's my girl, like, she does a good job. And then you go to another workshop and it's a sponsored one by, like, a lens company. Yeah. And then they just talk about, like, these lenses, and they don't really give you the real information. And you go, like, wow, that was kind of like a waste of time, because it was just a commercial for these lenses, and there was no real insight. And I always think that's kind of like a tacky thing to do.
Yeah, you know? I enjoy actually watching the workshops from the working photographers and in their daily adventures and their errors when they're shooting and how they figure out and make solutions with their shooting. So that's very helpful.
Right. How often do you find it inspiring when you're looking at someone else's work? And do you ever find it more frustrating than inspiring?
Well, personally, depending on where I'm at in my photography, my point of life, sometimes I find it very frustrating and very, you know, it makes you feel like depressed. Because if I'm not out there shooting and I'm sitting at home scrolling through Instagram and I see someone who's on my level and they're out shooting and they're getting the work that I want, it makes me really depressed. It's like, why am I not out there? What am I doing? I need to get my butt up and get out there and shoot.
Right. And I think the weird thing, one of the funny things is that, you know, there's this term that, you know, this modern term, I guess you'd call it, they call it hating. And hating kind of falls into two categories. Like, any criticism becomes hating. So if you just go, I don't like someone's album, they're like, why are you hating on that? No, I just don't think it's a good album. But in addition to that, sometimes, if, like what you're saying, when it could be a little depressing seeing what someone else is doing, they could look at that as if almost like you're hating on that person, but it's not that. And I think a better way to look at, to analyze, to explain it would be this, for anyone who doesn't feel this way, doesn't get it. It's like if you picture, like, say, a woman or even a guy who wanted to have a child, and for some reason they couldn't, they weren't able to. Okay, they might not necessarily want to be on your Instagram looking at you and your child.
Exactly,
it's just
exactly.
Not necessarily fun and entertaining. Mm-hmm. They don't hate you. They don't wish anything bad on you. Yes. They're glad that you have your child. But it's not necessarily, if I wish I could have a kid and I can't, it's not necessarily entertaining for me to go watch a video of you pushing your kid on a swing.
Exactly.
Because that's what I want to do. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what it is. But sometimes when you try to verbalize the idea that it's a little frustrating to watch a video of some guy, whatever, he's shooting polar bears in Alaska and that's your dream. But people think it's like you're like a small person or a petty person.
Exactly.
And I think it's not really that. It's just, you don't begrudge them what they have. They deserve it. It's just, it's not necessarily entertaining for you. You'd rather go watch The Walking Dead than watch a video of this guy shooting polar bears.
Exactly.
If you want to be shooting polar bears.
Yeah, sometimes I think it's just human nature to have that bit of envy. Like, it's that green eye sometimes, because you know that you can be doing it. So in your head, you have to think, what's stopping me from doing this? Like, why am I not out there?
Right. And you can even have the situation where you've actually done it already in the past, which is even more weird. Like, you know, you've done that gig or you've been to that event, and then now you're not, and that person is. So I think that can be a kind of a weird thing, you know. But we actually did like a workshop today where we were talking about this idea of congruence that I've spoken about before, and this idea of like just being consistent with the social media platforms. Because I think it's funny, I don't know if anybody's ever done this experiment, but it's really funny. You can do it. Like, you look through someone's feed, like you look at their feed first, look at the pictures, and you mentally say to yourself, like, who is this person based on the pictures I'm looking at? And sometimes the only thing the pictures are communicating is like, I'm a cute girl. That's the only thing it communicates, you know,
selfie.
Or yeah, a bunch of selfies, or like, I know how to post a meme. That's it. And then you go and you read the description of that person on Instagram, and it's like, I'm a scholar and a Shakespearean author. And you're just like, your feed proves none of this. It's a complete lie. The difference between what you're saying about yourself and what you're showing us in the pictures. But do you ever struggle with that in terms of social media, that what you want to say about yourself and what you are actually saying?
Definitely. Like, one aspect we talked about in the workshop was, is it best to have a professional page and a personal page? It's like, when you have your professional page, you want people to know you and get a sense of who you are. You want to post those family pictures from time to time, and you want to post those selfies, but then you also want to stay professional. So it's like a toss sometimes. Like, you want to keep something totally separate so they can see all your work. But I also noticed that on my personal page, when I would post a selfie, likes right away. People would comment, this and this and that. I'll go back and post a professional photo. It took me an hour and a half to retouch, and it's like 2 likes. I'm like, what's going on?
Yeah, I get that as well. Like, if I want to get likes, I put up a picture of my daughter, and that'll always get likes. Now, if I stand there and put a picture of some model and I spent 6 hours shooting it, nobody cares. It gets like 14 likes. But I do look at it as that you can kind of look at the positive side of that, in a sense that if you imagine an Instagram feed of a guy who just shoots a ton of like half naked women, and there's a million of those.
Definitely.
And this guy's getting a ton of likes, he got 30,000 followers, everything's getting thousands of likes. If a guy like that posts an image of him, you know, walking his son to school, his audience does not care. They want to see the naked women, and they're probably mad at him. If he puts too many of those up, they're just going to go like, where are the girls with the big butts? Nobody cares about you walking your kid to school. But when the people are responding to the selfies, or in my case, to my daughter, what it's really saying is they care about you, even if they don't really care about your work.
Yes.
And while that can be frustrating as a creative and a professional, bottom line, people hire people. They don't hire the work. They have to have that connection with you. So I try to remember that is something, that they care about me, even if they don't really care about a picture of some random model that I threw against a white wall and took a picture. So it's not horrible, although it is a bit frustrating, I think.
Yeah, it makes you wonder, what are people thinking, all your hard work? But it does make plenty of sense. Like, it's good that people want to know you because they want you to shoot them. They're going to spend their hour or 2 hours with you in the studio, so you need to connect with them some kind of way.
Right. But I think the thing about in my view, you should absolutely have just the one page, not the two. I think that's just a dilution, and it's so time consuming to do Instagram
really
properly.
Is.
Who wants to sit and manage two different accounts and answer people? And it's just ridiculous. But I think in the one account, they can absolutely have the professional work and the personal images. It's just that the personal images shouldn't just be selfies in that sense, because it could be like, it could still be like you at a museum. It can be you, this is a book I'm reading. This is you at yoga class. So you're communicating all of these things. And it's not just, oh, look at me, I'm cute. And I think that's the problem that the selfies fall into a lot of times. A lot of times they don't communicate anything other than, this is what I look like. But it could have been, you know, I travel, or I associate with cool people, and I do things. So I think there's a way to do the selfie that's proper, that's not just, this is what I look like. So you can communicate something a little more than that.
Yeah, and like we spoke about in the workshop, a person that does that the best is Jeremy Cowart. Like, his page, his feed are amazing, and it makes you feel like you know him. Although you don't, you feel like you know him, you feel like you know his children, you know his life story, you know everything about him, and you know his professional work.
Yeah, so I think he does the absolute best job of balancing the professional with the personal. Yeah, you know his kids, you know he adopted kids.
Yes.
If someone in the family dies, you know about it. And the consistency, though, is that, and this is the part that I struggle with, though, is that I think my feed gets a good balance between the personal and the professional. I make sure you do see things that are important to me, that I'm a father, that I'm a husband. These things are in my feed. But the difference is that if I post a picture of my daughter, it might not be a great photograph. Mm-hmm. It's a picture that I like because it's a picture of my daughter. So it means something to me. I care about the picture. I probably care about it more than the picture of the model that I posted the day before. Mm-hmm. But the picture of my daughter might not be a great photograph. And where I think a guy like Jeremy succeeds so well is that even the picture of the kid is a great photograph. Yeah, you're like, wow, how do you take a picture of his kid that's this good? So it's communicating not just, I'm a family man, I care about my children. It's also communicating, I'm a great photographer. And I think that's where he succeeds. And, you know, some of us might struggle a bit on some of those areas.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea, the way he does that. And it makes you wonder, like, does this actually get him work? Although social media is a bit iffy every time, from time to time, but sometimes that's where people's work come from. Like, is this getting you work?
Yeah, ultimately, that's what we want from it. But I think one of the mistakes I think people make, like one time I sent out I wish I could say monthly. I'll do these newsletter mailings, you know, maybe four times a year. And I sent one out and his stylist called me up and she said, oh, you know, it looks really good. Did you get any work from it? And I said to myself, wow, this is a person who has zero understanding of marketing because she thinks I'm going to send out one email and get like three jobs. It doesn't work like that. It's part of a process. So I think, and I can't stand the word brand, even though I do like my buddy Aaron Pearson, who does that Branding Like a Boss podcast, good guy. Mm-hmm. But that word just gets so overused, mm-hmm. and it's just so annoying to keep hearing the word brand every 2 minutes. But if you are building a brand, mm-hmm. marketing is a big part of it, and you need to market in multiple ways. So to me, the real answer to that question, do those pictures on Instagram actually get you work? Yeah. The real answer is you would never know.
Exactly.
Because if you're marketing successfully, you might not even know which is responsible for what. It's all just part of a big picture to where you're on Instagram and you're doing mailers and you're doing promo videos on YouTube and maybe Snapchat, whatever. And somehow the career is working, but you might not know exactly which one worked. It's just what you just do it without a goal, almost. You just do it almost naturally.
That's why I think change is important. As a photographer, maybe like you've been working for years doing photography. I'm sure years ago there was no Instagram, no Facebook, but these things came about. And although some people don't like to go through change and go through with technology, when things come out, you have to update yourself. You have to revamp yourself constantly. And all of these social media avenues flood into a pool. So whatever way you think you're getting the business kind of doesn't matter, but it floods into a pool and then you're seen. Your vision is out there. Your photos are out there. So I think that's a good thing.
Yeah. And the thing about the change. Yeah. And then now the one I keep hearing about is Snapchat. I just keep going like, I'm not going on Snapchat.
Gosh.
I don't like that little Pac-Man looking thing. That's the icon for Snapchat. And I'm on enough. I'm on Instagram. Yes. I'm on Facebook. Like it's enough. I'm not doing another one. And I'm not doing one that's going to erase my content 24 hours later.
I don't completely understand that. Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to figure it out, but I don't understand that. And like Facebook and Instagram are two different types of audiences. So like you have Facebook, I get a lot of work from Facebook, I must admit, but it's more like family stuff and different types of people. But then I go on Instagram and I get like maybe the younger crowds and the more people who want to do modeling. So they both work out for different things, but I don't think I can get with Snapchat.
You do have to pick which ones really speak to you, because if you go on it in an inauthentic manner, it doesn't work anyway. And I talked about this on the podcast I had my wife. I forgot the number. It might be like 43 or something like that. But I talked about the idea of how she has a blog and I have a blog, and her blog is infinitely more successful than mine. And her blog, it's called Tamara Loves, and it's just like, oh, I went to this restaurant and I loved it, and she writes about the restaurant. Like, it's
everybody flocks to it.
And people, but again, it's not like a tremendously successful blog in terms of millions of people reading it, but it's certainly more successful than mine. And the reason is because it's authentic. She writes the blog with no agenda. She's not trying to get work from the blog. Mm-hmm. She's not trying to gain followers. She just writes the blog because she enjoys writing it from her heart. And when I'm blogging, it's very forced. And if I were to go to Snapchat and I don't like the platform, then it's going to be forced and it's not going to work. Whereas Periscope, which has this like live video streaming ability, I love Periscope.
Oh, really?
I absolutely love it. When I'm on a shoot and I've got this dead time because they're doing a hair and makeup, I love doing Periscope. That's authentic.
I might have to check that one out. See?
Yeah, you got to check it out.
Some things you learn about, all this new social media popping up, sometimes you have to catch on. Even though you don't want to, sometimes you just have to do it.
Yeah, you don't have a choice. But you had mentioned before the idea about like having a niche and whether or not it's better to kind of just do the one thing or do multiple things? And I think that's a tricky question. I look at it like this. I look at it like two things. One, you can do some different stuff, but the vision has to be clear, meaning in some way what you're saying about these pregnant women is a similar statement that you're making about the couples or the executives. And that's a tricky thing to figure out. But you see it sometimes where you'll look at an artist, like let's say you have like a rapper who, I don't know, say you take Puffy, you know, he could be looked at different ways. But sometimes when you see him like as a rapper, he comes across as kind of this dignified person. He's an expert. He knows all about music or whatever. And then they'll use him for a Ciroc advertisement where he's kind of playing a James Bond type character. We're talking about liquor. We're talking about music. Two totally different things.
Correct.
But the essence of who he is that comes across on the records, this kind of cool, suave guy who, you know, controls rappers, you know, and knows what he's doing behind the mic or the keyboard, whatever you call it, the producer dials. That's the same person who's cool in a club with the girls in a Ciroc. So he's doing two different things, but the vision, the branding is consistent. So if you can find a way to be shooting, you know, whatever, you know, homeless people and pregnant women and somehow have a consistent vision, then you can absolutely have those two different types of content on the same site. The problem is when you're shooting the homeless people, grimy, black and white, and you know, and you're shooting like boudoir, happy, bright colors, sexy, and there's no continuity, there's no congruence between those two things, and it just looks like a mess. It looks like somebody who just takes every job that comes along, and there's no vision, there's no statement, and then it doesn't work.
And then it makes you wonder, as an upcoming photographer, a new photographer, so for instance, you have been doing your workshops and people are looking up to you, photographers are coming here to learn from you, so what advice would you give them when they're trying to start out and they're trying to find their way? So they have to shoot numerous things, they have to shoot events, they have to shoot babies, they have to shoot families, and they're posting just so they have work to post. What do you suggest?
Yeah. Do you give them? This is really the key. It's a couple of things. I think For one thing, you don't have to post everything you shoot.
Definitely.
And there's a ton
not.
Of stuff I
yes.
shoot that I do not post.
Definitely.
Sometimes I don't post it because it's boring. Sometimes I don't really have the right to post it if it's like an executive picture.
Yes.
And I'll even not post things that are really good that I can't repeat.
That makes sense.
You know, I shot an Adele listening party not that long ago. It was amazing. It had like 20 people there. They thought they were going to just hear the album. And then halfway through, Adele just walks through a door. And it was funny. It was in a place. I forgot what this place is called. My God, it was so weird. It was called like the Secret Room or something. It had like a the entrance was like literally through an alley, and where she entered was behind a bookcase. It looked like a Scooby-Doo cartoon. Like it was this old looking room, looked like it was from like the Victorian era. And this bookcase opens and she comes walking out. But the point being, that's not what I shoot consistently. So there's not much point in me marketing that because it's like a fluke. So I think you can control what you put out there. And if you're that young upcoming person who is shooting all these things just to pay the bills, you really don't have to show all those things you're shooting. You have to pick what you're shooting. And I think if you're at the point where you're still at the point where you're trying to get good at photography, that's almost like a fun period because it's like being in college. It's like safe. You kind of have this safety net of like, well, I bought my camera 2 years ago and I'm not that good, and you see your work getting a little bit better. That's a kind of nice period. The hard period is when you know how to shoot and you know you're good.
Exactly.
And you're not getting work.
Yeah.
That's hard.
That's the scary part.
Yeah, that's scary. But if you're at the point where, like, you know you kind of suck, be really happy because you're just like, yeah, but you know my picture sucks, so I'm not surprised nobody's hiring me. That's a really good position to be in, okay?
Exactly.
Wait till your pictures are good and nobody's hiring you. Then you're going to really have some problems, okay?
It's almost like going back to the blog aspect when you're shooting with a purpose and shooting just for fun. When you're shooting just for fun, it's like you're not nervous. You don't really care about the lighting.
Correct.
You don't need to know all
right.
the techniques. You're just going to go shoot. I want to get the shot and you're done. But when you're shooting for a client that says, hey, I want to give you money to shoot this for me, then you're like, oh my God, I have to figure this out. Like, I have to come up with a great picture.
Right. So. And the thing is that I think when you're doing that beginning stuff, I think the number one crucial, most important thing is the idea of living an interesting life and photograph your life. Who are your friends? What are they doing? Are they going home every day and watching TV? Because there's nothing to shoot. What do you do in your downtime? Do you just watch TV? Or do you travel a little bit and go to different, whatever it is, museums or concerts or whatever. And I look at periods of my life that were really interesting. It never occurred to me to shoot them. Back in the days when I would shoot, like early days, I would shoot like rock groups and I would go to a lot of rock concerts. Yeah. Didn't really occur to me to shoot like the crowd at the rock concert. Because I only shot things I thought I could get published and nobody was going to run a picture of a guy in the audience. So why am I going to take a picture of this? Yeah. But I was living an interesting life, and I could have shot a lot of things around my life that were interesting. And I think sometimes we don't see our lives as being interesting because it's our life, so we think everybody does what we do. But maybe your life is interesting. Like, go join the Crips and photograph the Crips. Like, that'd be your life. You know, you're doing like drive-bys and you photograph that. That's going to be interesting. So I think that's part of it is living an interesting life, being an interesting person and not being boring. Because if not, you don't really have anything to say. And if you don't have anything to say, you don't have vision. And why am I hiring you? Because if it's just to take a picture, I can get anybody to take the picture. And That's not a skill anymore.
I think us as creatives, as photographers, as artists, musicians, we need to kind of take a backseat to social media from time to time. Just take a break and live life and go through the moments and enjoy what we're doing instead of going somewhere just to post a picture. Because sometimes I find myself, I'll have a gap from social media because I can't think of anything to post. But why don't I just post? If I have to post, like I went to the museum, like I just don't do it. Like you should just enjoy life and experience it and come back with those ideas. Like writers used to take breaks and go away and explore a town and live in the town.
Right,
and
but we kind of feel this pressure that you have to post every day on Instagram and stuff, every day. I kind of wish that they would just get rid of the likes. Like wouldn't you enjoy Instagram better if they just had-
It's like so much pressure sometimes. Yeah. Like you constantly, you post something, you go back and check it, like, let me just see. Yeah. And now they have this new feature with the videos where they show you the amount of views so people see them but they're not liking it, so it makes you wonder.
I'm so pathetic that when that feature came out, and I don't put that much video on Instagram, the day it came out I went and edited a video, and if anybody watches, go to my Instagram, you'll see it. It's a girl named Mackenzie, beautiful girl, dancer. And I went and I edited the video to 15 seconds just for Instagram, and I wrote a caption that said something like, hey, you guys don't even have to like the video because I'm going to know if you watched it anyway. And I threw it up there and I went to my wife like, look, I got 100 views on Mackenzie or whatever. So, but yeah, that was like really pathetic, I must admit. That was pathetic to care enough about the views to go edit a video to throw it up there. But I haven't put another video up since, okay? I try to ignore it though. And it's funny because we always like admire the people who succeed at Instagram. I talked about this guy one time on the podcast, a guy named Chris Burkhardt, who I saw present at Unique Photo. Guy's got like a million followers. And the work is so good. All looks kind of similar, has a clear vision to what he's doing. It's all travel. And he puts a lot of work in. This guy will travel for like 3 days to get the right lighting in the right place to shoot. But we give a lot of credit to people like him and go, wow, I admire that. But if you think about it, shouldn't we also give credit though to and admire the people who really don't succeed at Instagram? Definitely. Those people who put a lot of time and a lot of work in and just don't really get a lot of attention for their feed and don't get a lot back from it. But they still, in a dedicated manner, consistently post content, process the pictures, write interesting captions, and they're getting whatever, 50 likes, 30 likes, whatever it might be. Yeah, I think you could maybe give people like that a little bit of recognition.
Definitely give them credit. And when I scroll through Instagram, sometimes I look at the popular page or whatever it's called when you first open it. And like a lot of times I don't look at how many followers you have. If I look through your feed and I see a couple of photos that I like, I'm going to follow you. I'm not going to say, oh, he has 20 followers. I'm not going to follow him. If I like what you're doing and I feel like you're personable and there's photos of you and your life and your professional work, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to keep up with it.
Right. So I find that for Instagram though, I don't really look at anybody's Instagram feed. I just don't. I use it as a place for me to write my content, and I don't really consume content there. I look at very little. I hardly ever like anything.
So then how do you feel when people don't like your photos or don't scroll through your photos?
I look at it totally different. There. No, I look at it as if I am a content creator. Mm-hmm. And again, it could sound obnoxious, but I look at it like I'm a content creator and people should be glad for my feed because every picture I post has taken me some work. Yes. I've either post-processed it or I've gone someplace to shoot or I've stood there for 20 minutes or I've been in my studio for hours to create that content. My content is never, never my food. It's never a quick phone picture. Mm-hmm. Every single picture I put up, and if they're bad, they're bad, but they took me some work to do. So I look at my feed as so different from what a lot of people do on Instagram, where they're just throwing up instant content. My content is never instant. So I have this attitude.
It's crazy. That's what it's for. Instant from
that's
your
what
phone.
It, yeah, the original vision really was only instant, from your phone.
Definitely.
And then we figured out how to get. And if you're in the very beginning of Instagram, it was almost, it was actually considered wrong to put up pictures that weren't from the phone. It was like you were cheating.
Yep.
They were like, people acted like you were lying and cheating. And the funny part to me was, because I use this Leica a lot, which in some ways is harder to use than a phone, it would make me laugh because I'm like, believe me, I could get quicker, faster, better pictures with my phone than my Leica because the phone focuses quicker and it focuses closer and
does
all that stuff.
Does everything for you.
Right, does everything for me. The real camera is the hard thing to get a good picture with. The phone's easy. But I just look at it like, again, I'm a content creator and I'm giving people something for free.
Yeah.
And that should be enough of a contribution because, again, my content is never just lunch in the subway train. I mean, it's a subway, but it's somebody doing something on a subway. A picture I've stood there and waited 20 minutes to get, and I'm risking some guy walking up and punching me in the face because I took a picture of him and his girl hugging each other. I'm putting some work into it. So I never feel an obligation to look at content on Instagram. And as I've mentioned many times on this podcast, when I want to look at pictures, I go to 500 Pics, and there's a bunch of people I follow there, and I look at pictures there for content. But I don't use Instagram, you know, to view content.
And that's a nice segue as far as having your phone for instant gratification. What do you feel is the aspect with new cameras coming out that some of them are smaller, have interchangeable lenses, and you can just post your pictures right away? And it's like, how do you feel as a photographer if that's taken away from your work?
You know, I think it does. It's like I'm mixed on it because I could give two answers to it. Because you see, the world changes, right? For example, like, look at the guys with, like, who had video cassette stores.
Yes.
Like, when we got rid of DVDs and VHS tapes.
Blockbuster and all
Blockbuster,
that.
Blockbuster. It was a huge, giant Blockbuster store. Gone.
All of them.
Like, for them, it sucked. Yes. And they were probably having these equivalent of a podcast going, man, yeah, nobody wants to get a DVD anymore. They're all just downloading on their phone. But in reality, it was a beautiful thing for the world.
Definitely.
It just sucked for them.
Yep.
So when I look at a lot of the changes in photography, some of them really have sucked for me as an individual. But the idea that like Rihanna's number one photographer is Rihanna.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that sucks for the guy who doesn't have the job as being Rihanna's go-to guy for pictures.
Yes.
But for a fan of Rihanna, it's fantastic because we're getting better pictures when Rihanna shoots
directly
Rihanna.
Directly from her, yes.
Right, better stuff. It's who's got the most intimate access to Rihanna but Rihanna. So I think I separated out sometimes the idea of how the changes affect me and then separately whether they're good or bad. So the idea that everybody in the world can take pictures and photograph their life is beautiful.
Definitely.
I love it. The parts where it hurts me were certain types of things I used to get hired for. I don't really get hired for now because you don't need a professional to do it.
Yes.
Yeah, that part kind of sucks. But I think, again, kind of going back to that vision thing, if you have a unique way of looking at things, there can always be an opportunity for you
definitely
to survive without being afraid of the technology or at least using the technology, being able to incorporate. The last, I was bidding on a job, which I still don't even know if I got. There's a beauty shoot. They talked about the model. It's a really nice model fee in there. And I'm like, I wonder if I could like model for this because the model fee is really good.
Oh, yeah.
But they have me do the hair ad. It would be fantastic. But the funny thing is, I said to them when I wrote up the proposal, I said, we need 6 models. I said, why don't we book at least one through Instagram?
Mm-hmm.
And if we post that amount that you're paying, I said, we're gonna have the studio flooded.
Definitely.
The girls gonna be coming from everywhere for this. If we go cash prize of X amount of dollars, plus you get to peer on the box, they're gonna come running.
It's like a call to action for them.
Right, right. It's like, yeah, it's like a real call to action. It was real money. And that's an example of me trying to integrate Instagram rather than fight it and be mad at it. How do I use that to help me get the job? So now when I'm bidding against another photographer who maybe didn't think of that, they go, you know, this guy's right. We're going to get a lot of attention for the brand.
Definitely.
If we can put up an ad like this, you know, a social media ad. So I think you have to try to embrace it as best you can.
Work with it instead of pushing it away. And it almost leads back to how you spoke about it sucked for Blockbuster going out of business, but they had to learn how to revamp themselves, do everything online like Netflix does.
Right.
So we have to figure out how it almost leads back to the niche. Like, are you that photographer that's going to stand out? So if I'm having an event, they can shoot it with their iPhone, but I know she's going to get a better shot.
Correct.
So let me make
because,
sure.
Again, she has a vision. She has
exactly
something she's trying to say. She's not just shooting the party. There's something she's saying about the party. There is something that she's communicating with it. And on a similar note, again, the thing about, I have photographer friends who think things are worse because we got phased out of certain types of shooting and it got replaced with the phone.
Yes.
I don't think things are worse. I think they're just worse for me. Like
keeps
I said,
it's on
like,
our toes.
Say it again.
It keeps you on your toes.
Right. It should keep you on your toes and you should be innovating something new.
Definitely.
But I don't think it sucked for the world when everybody started taking their own pictures. It just, it hurt me in some ways, but doesn't mean it was bad for the world. Just like getting rid of the DVDs. It was only bad for the guy who owned a Blockbuster.
Exactly.
It wasn't bad for the
world.
Everyone
else, yeah.
Most changes, I think, are for the better, period, that happened in the world. The world keeps getting better and better.
Yeah.
So you just have to find your niche. And I think one last point that you have to remember about a photographer and how hard you should be working.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to be a photographer, like really think about what you're saying. You're kind of saying to the world, okay, you drive the bus, you go clean out the sewer, you go tar the road, and I'm gonna go take pictures of rock stars and pretty girls and beautiful waterfalls while you guys go do all of that stuff. Well, why do you get to do this and I don't?
Yes.
Because you know how to work a camera. Yeah, it takes 15 minutes to learn how to work a camera today.
Exactly.
You need something more.
Vision. The person behind it, just like you spoke about, how everything has to be congruent in your Instagram and people have to know you. That's the whole thing and how it leads back and wraps everything up. They have to know you and know why they want you because you're the person taking the pictures. Not just the camera.
Right. And I think one last thing that we'll end on this is the idea that you always have to remember this too, is that sometimes I think we look at things on such a personal level that we think something is a big deal. So let's say you're in high school, right? And there's that person you want to date, this guy or this girl. And you're thinking to yourself like, oh my God, like if I could date that person, like my life would be so great. And it's such a big deal. Like to you on a scale of 1 to 10, for that to happen, that would be a 10, correct? That would be the biggest deal in the world if this girl agreed to go on a date with you or that guy agreed to go on a date with you, correct?
Yes.
Okay, but let's step out of that person's own inner self and just look at the world. On a scale of 1 to 10, if a high school girl says yes, she's gonna date a high school guy, where does that fall on a scale of 1 to 10?
It's in a negative aspect somewhere.
It's nothing. So as an individual, someone like yourself who hasn't been on that long, how long have you been in this as a photographer?
A complete 8 years, 3 years with my own studio. So
right, 3 years. Yeah. Okay, not that long. Let's say 3 years with your own studio.
Yes.
Right. So not that long. So for you, it could feel like, oh my God, if I could make this work, if I could just be making whatever, I'm going to do a crazy number just so we don't get to any real numbers, $5 million a year, enough to buy a yacht.
Mm-hmm.
That would be the most amazing thing in the world. If I could just succeed as a photographer, okay, that's how it feels for you. But again, in the scheme of the world, if one more photographer makes it or one more photographer doesn't make it, it's not that big a deal.
That's right.
Every week somebody wins the lottery.
Definitely.
A lottery winner is not a unique thing. If you win a lottery, it's a big deal to you, but it's not a big deal just in the world. So the idea of you being an independent business person and being able to succeed is a believable thing. It is something that can be done, and you have to remember that. It might feel like this insurmountable thing on a scale of 1 to 10. It's a 20.
Yes.
But in reality, you're looking at the greater New York City area. We're going to say, even though you're in Maplewood, New Jersey, and I have no idea where that is.
Not far.
Okay. But the idea of you succeeding as a photographer is really not that big of a deal if you really think about it.
You have to do what works for you, what drives your business, what do you feel makes you stand out for your particular clientele, your particular demographic, and you just have to make it powerful. That's what I think.
Right. You're running a business is the main thing. And you got to just do whatever the business needs. And, you know, really quick, this be the last one. They had used to be this place called Tiger Show and Karate.
Yes,
a karate place.
Definitely.
And then over time, karate started to fall out of favor in favor of what we call grappling, Brazilian jiu-jitsu, and mixed martial arts.
Yes.
And if you look at Tiger Schulman today, they do not say, we're Tiger Schulman Karate, and that's what we were, and that's what we're going to be forever. And no, they are now called Tiger Schulman Mixed Martial Arts. They changed because the world changed. And as a photographer, you need to do the same thing and not go, it was better in the old. Just do what it takes. Just like when you see McDonald's start selling healthy salads, you know. You change in the way that the world needs to change. But again, keeping your vision. And I don't train at Tiger Schulman, but I'm sure their vision for mixed martial arts is consistent with their vision for karate.
Exactly.
So that's what you want to do. Make sure you're consistent in that, okay? So anyway, people, thank you so much for listening. We're always honored when you listen to the podcast because you have so many choices. I mean, you've got like millions of choices. And I used to say that, I mean, you could listen to like, I listen to this Walking Dead podcast. I listen to a Batman podcast. Like there's just so many podcasts and TV shows and YouTube videos. And I used to say that at the beginning of the podcast, and I'm like, well, wait, people might hear that and then go, why am I listening to this? Exactly. I've got all these other choices. So I'm saying it at the end now. But anyway, yes. The idea that you listen to this podcast is like so flattering, and we're just really appreciative. So thank you. Again, if you want to find me, it's Instagram is really the best place. John Ricard, JohnRicard. Kawana, where do they find you?
On Instagram, Envision13, Envision13.
Excellent. All right. Thank you very much for being here, and we'll see you guys next time.
Bye.
Thanks. I usually do a clap in case my sync doesn't work. That was great. We made it to 36 minutes. How
what?
Nice was that? Yes.
Oh my gosh, I had no idea.
Yeah, we were doing fine, so I kept it going. Oh. All right. That was great. Thank you.